Listen. I'll try to speak to you clearly and honestly. I'm sure you've noticed that often the scriptures we read on Sunday seem wonderfully appropriate for the moment and the place where we hear them. Today's first reading struck me as just the opposite. It speaks of being in love and rapturous and full of optimism. It made me think of Bette Midler singing that song in the musical Gypsy. Startin' here, startin' now, baby, everything's coming up roses for me and for you. Last week, in our scriptures, we heard Solomon's petition in 1 Kings. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people when they pray toward this place. Oh, hear in heaven your dwelling place. Heed and forgive. Hear us, O Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place. This was the first line of a hymn which used to be sung in Anglican churches all over the world. And some of us may remember it from the old Anglican blue hymnal. It's called the Manx Fisherman's Hymn. Hear us, O Lord, from heaven thy dwelling place. Like them of old, in vain we toil all night, unless with us thou go who art the light. Come then, O Lord, that we may see thy face. Sometimes when we pray, we can hardly help but feel the same way as the author of that hymn felt. The Lord God seems impossibly far away in some heaven which we know very little about. Those Manx fishermen sang this hymn and hoped that God would tell them where to cast their nets, like Jesus did when he told his disciples to fish from the other side of the boat. In this morning's gospel hymn, we just sang, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God." This song echoes the words from Matthew 5:8, the sixth of the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God." If you're like me, then seeing God is almost unimaginable. Am I one of the pure of heart? I wish. As Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians, now we see in a mirror dimly. What does it mean to see God? For us, the less than pure in heart, we might only see glimpses of God, as in the Song of Solomon. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Is this how we can see God? See God in all God's works, in the magical world we live in? Seeing God is like seeing the wind. When I was a child, we used to recite this poem by Christina Rossetti. Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. Way back then, when I was reciting poems of Christina Rossetti and reading Winnie the Pooh, I used to imagine my soul like a shining piece of white cloth. Even as innocent and pure of heart as I was, and it was the purest that I've been, even then I imagined this white cloth to be turning darker and darker, getting black stains which would not go away. Today, I can hardly imagine my religion protecting me, as James says in his letter. Religion that is pure and undefiled is this, to keep oneself unstained by the world. So as Bishop Michael used to say to us, I speak to you as sinner to sinners. We seem to be living in perilous times. Now we are calling into question some of the things we have assumed for most of our lives. In the past, we confidently believed that if we spread the gospel, taught the children about Jesus and the way, the truth, and the life, that we would all be heading toward a better world. Now, lots of people don't believe in God. Lots of people don't believe in science. Some people don't believe in anything. Many of us, even here in this church, cross our fingers when we recite the Apostles' Creed. Don't worry. The reading from Mark shows us something about Jesus. He knew the scriptures very well, but was dismissive about doctrine. He quoted Isaiah saying, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." People are burning churches, and we are humbled. But isn't humility one of the things we should be trying to achieve? Do you feel depressed or even irritated by the events in this world? I know I do. Nothing is going as we expected. I thought that if 80% of us got two doses of vaccine and practiced social distancing, then by September we could return to something like normal living. Yet now, here we are going in just the opposite direction. And that's not the only thing that depresses me. The entire subject of global climate change, devastating fires, extreme weather events, and so forth has me confused and doubtful. I don't know about you, but my whole material life seems to be based around the use of vast amounts of fossil fuels for transportation, home heating, air conditioning, manufacturing, and much more. I don't know about a proposal of how we as individuals can manage to get us away from this fuel-fueled way of life. No wonder I feel depressed and powerless. In past times, when people experienced natural disasters, such as floods, droughts, hurricanes, or extreme weather, they could rely on prayer to hopefully relieve them from these events. Today, hardly anyone I know would blame God for crop failures or forest fires. Neither do I expect God to save me from COVID-19. Hear us, Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place. I believe the Lord does hear us, but do we hear the Lord? Anyone at all can feel estranged from God, alone and unprotected. Even most notably Jesus, who at the end of his natural life called out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" These same words are at the beginning of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Has God withdrawn himself from us, or have we withdrawn ourselves from God? Still, we keep to this faith because we have no other faith. Our faith is in Jesus, who promised, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All who are weary and burdened surely must include ourselves, even though we have lived seemingly safe and prosperous lives. James reminds us to be not hearers who forget, but doers who act. He says, that we will be blessed in our doing. And what should we be doing? Our hearts tell us, consider others, get vaccinated, wear a mask, practice social distancing, trust those who care for others, don't give up hope. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that we may learn to love others as you have loved us. We give thanks for the example of Jesus and all the saints who have shown us a way to live that frees us from self-absorption and doubt. Forgive us for our continual mistakes and inattention, and abide in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.